is taken from Acts chapter 17 to the end of the chapter. It's the background. Paul is traveling on his second missionary journey, checking up on the churches he had founded, and he also establishes other churches. That chapter 16 is where he has an encounter with a demon-possessed lady who follows, calling out that he's servant of the living God, actually in a mockery form. And Paul and Silas end up in jail for helping that person. And Paul moves on from there, and in his travels he comes to the city or the area of the Thessalonians. And that's where our reading starts. And now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as was his custom, went in unto them, and for three Sabbath days reasoned with them from the Scriptures, expounding and alleging that it was necessary for Christ to have suffered and risen again from the dead, saying, "This Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ." And some of them believed and joined themselves to Paul and Silas, as did a great multitude of devout Greeks and the chief women, not a few. But the Jews who believed not, moved with envy, engaged certain wicked fellows of a reserved sort, and gathered a crowd and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they dragged Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down have come thither also. And Jason has received them, and they all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security from Jason and the others and let them go, and the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who arriving there went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scripture daily to see whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also honorable women who were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica became aware of the word of God, that the word of God was preached by Paul in Berea, they came there also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent Paul to go down to the sea, but Silas and Timothy remained still there. And those who conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and having received direction for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred within him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore he disputed in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the marketplace daily with those who would meet with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" And some others, "He seemeth to be a proclaimer of a strange God, because he preached unto them that Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him unto the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine is there wherewith thou speakest? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears, and we would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers who were there spent their time in nothing else than either telling or hearing some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For I passed by and behold your devotions and found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye worship in ignorance, him do I declare unto you. God who made the world and all the things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is he worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. He hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth. He has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if perhaps they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also certain of our own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are his offspring of God, we ought not to think that God, the Godhead, is like unto gold or silver or stone given by art and of man's devising. The times of this ignorance God overlooked, but now he commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained. Of this he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. But when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked and others said, we will hear thee again on this matter. So Paul departed from among them." Our dear Heavenly Father, we pray once again. You visit our hearts, search our minds, know our thoughts, and guide them at this time, Lord, to seek to understand what you have for us. And Father, we just ask that you bless those who are listening online, that they too may sense in their hearts your presence, your goodness. Father, if some be ill, be with them. If others are perturbed about future things or anxious about some things, may you meet them where they are. And even us who are here, Lord, may we quiet our souls, quiet our hearts, that we may commune with you as we listen to your word. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled our moments of meditation, "The Different Reactions to the Word of God." There, all through Acts, there are many passages where we can see different reactions to the Word of God. Some of them are very positive. Some of them are not so positive. Some of them, like this, there's reactions, some very good and some not so good. But there are three different responses in this text that we read. There's the responses of the Thessalonians. There were those who received and those who did not receive the word. There was the Bereans, and there was the people of Athens. And we're going to look at this shortly. The Thessalonians, as a rule, being mainly Jews, they reject Paul's message because they could not wrap their minds around a suffering Messiah. They were expecting a Messiah. They were expecting a Savior, but they could not understand him as someone who'd come and suffer first. So to them, it was nonsense. There were those who did believe, but if we take the words that Luke writes saying that the Bereans were more noble than them because they searched the scripture, we would say that even those who believed just listened and then bothered to check scripture. There's something dangerous here. We can't accept everything that is said to us if we don't search the Word of God to see where it is written. Somebody may understand Scripture different than myself, but if he can show me in Scripture where he is basing his arguments, I can sit down with him and we can reason together. Because he's showing me where he got his ideas from. But if the person crosses his arms and says, so what? I'll take what you say, or I will not take what you say. It's a dangerous position. But going back to the Thessalonians, it is dangerous for us to reject what we don't understand. Because throughout Scripture, there are a lot of passages that are hard to understand. Even Peter, in his epistle, says, Paul speaks of things that are hard to understand, and the unlearned twist them to their own demise. In one of the cities in Brazil where I lived, there was a ex-mayor. I knew him when he was a teacher in the university. And every now and then we'd engage in conversation. And one day he just, he was at an event. I happened to show up. And he says, take me to such and such a place. He had many vehicles that the school offered, but for some reason he wanted to ride with me. And I figured, he wants to talk. And he began asking me many questions. And at one point he says, I want to understand before I believe. I say, no, you got to believe before you understand. And so the Jews in the city of the Thessalonians, they rejected the gospel because they couldn't comprehend it. They couldn't wrap their minds about it. And so, as we read, there's a riot that breaks out among those Jews, and they actually try to harm the apostles, Paul and Silas and Timothy and one other fellow, and they try to harm them. And Paul escapes at night and he comes to the town of the Bereans and he goes to the synagogue, he opens the word and he begins to explain, probably very similar what he had explained in Thessalonica. And it says, they were more noble because they searched diligently the Word of God. So there is nobility in searching the Word of God. And I said the other day in a church I was preaching to, I am homesick to hear the rattle of pages turning left and right when I'm preaching. Because then people are searching the Word of God. Nothing wrong with having the Scripture on your phone. You may be following along, but you may be texting your girlfriend or your boyfriend or checking the market or whatever. I can't tell, but if you have your Bible and I can hear those pages turning, I can say that brother, that sister is noble. They're checking me out to see if I preach the truth or not. So it is really important that we search the Scriptures. Then the Athens, they reject, again, the resurrection. One can't fathom a suffering Messiah. They reject them. Another, they search the Scripture because they find evidence in Scripture that yes, indeed, the Messiah must come and suffer. And probably Paul spoke about the resurrection, his crucifixion and his resurrection. And they accept it because they examine. And then he comes to a town full of idolatry, full of altars to unknown gods. And they hear him. And they want to see what he's babbling about. And he comes to the point when he talks about the resurrection, and they reject him. The world today cannot understand a suffering Savior, much less accept one that died and resurrected. A story is told that this fellow appeared to one of the European kings a couple of or more centuries ago, and he wants permission to start a new religion. And the king says to him, okay, go to the streets, go into the highways, go into the marketplaces, and proclaim yourself the Son of God. People will get fed up with your affirmations and your cries, etc. And they will crucify you. On the third day, you come here and I'll give you permissions to start a new religion. The only one who could start, if you want to call it a religion, is Christ. Because indeed, he resurrected. But the world is not so different. They oppose the gospel because they would not or refuse to accept the resurrection. But Luke writes his first two epistles telling us stories to get us to begin to think in a certain way and to be careful to examine Scripture. And he pulls the curtain, so to speak, back and forth so that we can always understand a little better of what God is up to. And when I read the accusations of the mob in the case of the Thessalonians in the marketplace, the first thought is to dismiss these group of people with a trumped up charge of the, they come and they make several accusations, and they say that those who turned the world upside down have come to us, and any reader maybe at the first time dismiss their accusations against Paul as trumped up charges of an angry mob, an angry church, if you want to call it. And we begin to lose what this text is really saying. When the mob actually hauls Jason and his brothers, as it says here, before the authorities, they claim that this group of Christians had upset the world. And they claim that Jesus is a rival king. I know that we live between the times, and sometimes it's hard to see, but these accusations are really Easter realities. They said, he is proclaiming one as king. He is proclaiming another king. He is proclaiming something that doesn't sit well with us. And when you really stop to think, that's true. What you and I proclaim, the gospel we share, goes against things. And it should. Because we are calling people to come to Christ, confess their sins, receive the benefit of Christ's death in their lives, and walk away forgiven and free. And the world that does not believe accuses us of introducing false teachings or irrelevant teachings in our day. We've moved beyond that, etc., etc. And so, as followers of Jesus, we do mean to upset the world. Or we should. Not with rebellious force. Not with rioting. Not with protests. But with the word, the upsetting word of God, the upsetting good news that Jesus is Lord and Savior. And while the world has acclaimed many titles, different ones, and even in the year, we acclaim Him as Lord and Savior. And the word Lord within the context actually means King. And so when they say He proclaims another one, a different one, they in theory they might be following God, but in rejecting the suffering Messiah, they actually reject His kingship. And Jesus is our true King, the one we follow regardless of earthly governments. Doesn't matter where we sit on this, whether Jason Kenney was right or wrong, whether truth is right or wrong, it doesn't matter, because we follow not an earthly king, but a resurrected king. We're not disrespectful. We're not disobedient citizens, because there's a paradox here. The scriptures say that we're citizens of this world, but we're not citizens. We are traveling through. Paul uses, we're sojourners, we're pilgrims. Pilgrims don't get involved in the politics of the land they travel through. But while they're traveling through, they do obey the laws of the land. So we have a king who is not earthly. Was earthly, if you want to put it that way, walked among men, was flesh and blood. In His resurrection, He said, touch me. You can see that I am flesh and blood. And the more I ponder on this, the more I understand what Paul and Silas were up against. The reaction of the Athens, they listened to the point, and from a certain point on, they stopped their ears, you know. They sneered when they heard about the resurrection. It is true, some are curious. They said, another time I'll hear you. Another time I will stop and listen to your arguments. Another day. And so many times we're witnessing to someone and someone will say, you know, I think that's true, but not today. Maybe another time. Their curiosity has not led them to repentance. Their curiosity may have led them to the point of understanding, yes, the Bible says there's a Savior. Yes, I need Him. Yes, He's coming back again, but not for me. That's for somebody else. And then some went beyond curiosity, and some believed and followed. So as we reflect on this passage, and keep living out this world-upsetting good news, we're called to even smile when we face opposition, when our faith is tested, when we come up against ridicule. We need to remember we are people of another kingdom, giving our devotion to King Jesus. But the real stumbling block was not that God had died in the person of Jesus Christ and risen again. The real stumbling block was their own heart. They knew the story that the Romans had crucified, you know. The ancient Greeks told stories God's dying for their people. But the real stumbling block was that Paul claimed that this God that died resurrected. That's where the world stumbles. You may talk about a Savior who died, that's fine. You may talk about a Savior that forgives, that's fine. And I'm not here to knock any religion, but the Catholic Church, when it portrays the story of Jesus Christ, and they portrayed accurately, but they stop with the resurrection, or rather, with the crucifixion. I've seen some of their films and some of their, they stop short of the of truth, of the full truth. And so they don't offer a real hope. And any religion or any claiming of a Savior that falls short of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the wrong reaction to the Word of God. And so, really, Christianity falls or stands on the fact that Christ rose from the dead. Paul says if our faith is just in this world, just in this life, we're miserable people. We may go around with a smile, but we're miserable because we have no hope. But if we understand and claim the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have taken the right reaction to the Word of God. So the three reactions in this passage here is reject because you can't understand. Search the Scriptures and understand and believe, or be stumbled with the fact that the resurrection is preached. It was clearly, they were very interested, these people from Athens, until Paul said he resurrected from the dead. Okay, Paul, you've said enough. We've heard enough. And walk away. And so, when we come to the Word of God, because it is the Word of God, it's going to produce one of these reactions. Either you're going to walk away because you can't wrap your mind around a suffering Messiah. Or you're going to search the Scriptures, come to understanding, and accept Him as Lord and Savior. Or you're going to stumble over the fact the resurrected from the dead. There's not really much difference between the first and the last reaction. First, I can't understand, so I don't believe it. The others, I understand what you're saying, but I don't believe it. So it's unbelief. So the only true reaction when we hear the Word of God is to examine it diligently. Seek out those passages we don't understand. Allow the Spirit to talk. Allow the Spirit to mold. Allow the Spirit to do its work in us. And then go believing and proclaiming the world, to this world upside down, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah who died, who suffered, and rose again. May God bless you.